You're listening to Awareness Avenue right here at OWWR. We just heard Janice's story. You wrote this, Janice, you said, shortly thereafter 9/11?
Yes, I wrote it down on paper, wrote down the details of that last day. Mostly on paper, I wrote it the spring after it happened. And the thing is, before that, I would keep replaying all these details. I think part of it was that I didn't want to forget, you know, so I kept on replaying them in my head over and over again. And at some point, I decided I didn't want to keep doing that. I didn't want to keep replaying them in my head, but I didn't want to forget them either. So I started writing them down, and I just wrote them down, you know, as quickly as I could, as I remember the details. And then over the years since then, I organized them in what I think is chronological sequence, but it's a very close to chronological sequence. And then I also added a background section. Later on, I added a background section and a follow-up section. And the entire story is on the web at www.onestoryamongthousands.org. Please visit it and check all the links.
Absolutely. OneStoryAmongThousands.org. Please check that out. I think that, I really feel honored that you shared your story today.
Thank you.
Is it cathartic for you, helpful for you to be able to share it?
Yeah, it is. It was, like you mentioned before, it was cathartic for me to write it and helpful for me to write it. But I really share it with people because all the time while I was writing it, I always imagined myself sharing it with somebody. I always imagined myself maybe giving it in a church or something, because it has some very spiritual aspects to it. And so whenever anyone asks me to read it, I always say yes.
Well, I think that it's important that we remember for so many reasons, but most importantly to remember those that have survived and those that did not, and to be able to honor them.
Right.
Because we know that it was approximately 3,000 people who died, right, 11 years ago, mm-hmm, yesterday. And I watched a bit on TV, as I try to do every year, the memoriam that they have at the actual site where, and this year, you know, they didn't have any political speeches or any real speeches. It was very simple. They had the calling of the names, and then they had a choir sing beautifully, and then they did taps. And I thought it was a very simple yet meaningful service. But it's just, I find it always heartbreaking, especially when the children read right, and talk about their family. And I don't know how they do it, because
right,
I at all. But they're so, all, everyone's so brave, and I think you are as well.
Oh, thank you.
What could you say to other people that have survived? I mean, I would imagine it's very, I don't know how you even conceptualize that thereafter. How do you do that? How do you, I mean, people even just watching all the news footage, not even being there on site, had a tough time emotionally dealing with it. So how do you, from surviving, I mean, you certainly sharing your story is great, and I bet, as you said, is helpful, cathartic. It was cathartic for you to write it and important for you to share it with others. But how do you sort of put this in its place, or what do you do?
Well, actually, that was part of writing it down. You know, it's now I have it someplace, you know, and it's there, and I share it whenever I can. Issues since 9/11, I'm fortunate that I was able to get out of the area quickly, and I wasn't really affected by the smoke when the towers collapsed. I was near Canal Street, but I was just able to get on a subway train there. By the time I got to Midtown, they had stopped the train, so I was in Midtown, you know, when we saw the large plume. But I still didn't believe that it collapsed. I even heard it on the radio, and I didn't believe it. You just don't believe that that would happen.
It's hard to imagine.
Right.
I think,
right,
even still today, about the collapse, I think it's very hard to even imagine today of this happening, even though it's very real. But it was certainly, we never would have occurred to us that something like this could even happen. And now that it has, of course, we've taken great steps to prevent such a thing from happening ever again.
Right. And I just depend on God to help me through whatever difficult situation I have. And that actually was even before 9/11. Where I would have very difficult situations, and somehow God always helped me through. And it doesn't necessarily mean help you survive, but it did in this case. But also, because of past experiences, I depend on God to help me through when it is time for me to die, to help me through that process whenever that may come. And I just, whatever I need, if I need help from another person, that would be provided. If I just need that sense of peace, that would be there too.
You mentioned your daughter, you had prior to this helped her get settled in college. So when this happened, I imagine, did she realize that you were at work? How long were you guys able to connect?
It was, I think it was about 4 hours. I'm not sure, 4 or 5 hours. She'll correct me, though, later when she hears this. Yes, I actually was able to, I kept on trying to use the cell phone, and I had only had that cell phone for 2 weeks before 9/11. I had purchased it for the specific purpose of bringing her back to school to make it easier when we go out of town. Yeah, so 2 weeks before I bought the cell phone, and then on 9/11, that's why all of a sudden it occurred to me I had this cell phone, because I didn't have it for that long. But I was able, when I got to Midtown, when I got out of the World Trade Center, I tried to call her but couldn't get through, and I thought, well, if I get out of this area, then maybe I can get through on the cell phone. And that's one of the reasons why I was not there when the tower collapsed, because I wanted to get away from it so that I could call my daughter. And so I kept going north, and after I got to Midtown and got out, I just kept on redialing, and about 1 in every 10 actually got through. So I left a message on her machine. But then, since the time isn't always right on your machine, she wasn't sure if it was before or after the collapse, if I'd gotten out of the... Because I was very brief. I just said, I'm okay, I'll talk to you later. But she didn't know that I was already out of the Trade Center at the time, because in the previous problem in 93, it took us about an hour to get out. And so if I had started when the second plane crashed into our building, it would have been very close. And so she at some point assumed that I was dead.
Oh, boy.
And so when I finally got a hold of her hours later, she just cried.
Yeah. Wow. But it was through your determination to be able to connect with her that got you out of there prior to that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to talk more when we come back.
Okay.
And so today we are talking with Janice, a survivor of 9/11, who shared her own personal story with us. And you also can see and read that personal story at
www.onestoryamongthousands.org.
Great. We'll be back. You're listening to Awareness Avenue. I'm Dr. Deb.